This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And I like guys.
And I like girls.
But we hope you love this podcast.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, reporting live for the Hump Day Crew, going all green and all natural. Oh, very funny, guys. Yes.
You're listening to the Hump Day Crew. Ginny and Bish are outside learning to dance, although there seems to be a lot of standing around at the moment and not too much dancing. But we're going to cover other things that's happening. Copenhagen talks kicked off on Monday, and to tell us what's happening there from the WWF, good morning, Jonathan Larkin.
Morning, how are you?
Very well. Now, they kicked off on Monday, and I believe a lot of people have been, apart from the actual delegates that are actually talking at these, a lot of other people have rocked up as well.
Yeah, look, Copenhagen is a bit of a place to be at the moment. The estimates are between sort of 10 and 30,000 people arriving in the city for these talks. You know, they've been 2 years in the making. A lot of people have been sort of holding their breath and counting the days until the conference kicks off. So obviously huge amounts of attention, huge amounts of interest and worry and excitement about what the outcome will be.
So apart from the delegates actually going, there's a lot of scientists have gone, a lot of non-government organisations from around the world. Does the WWF have people there?
Yeah, definitely. We've got about 100 people, mostly from our European offices, who are specialists in climate change policy. And they basically are going along to sit behind the negotiators, listen in on what they're saying, what they're doing, you know, evaluate it each day, prod different negotiators when they need prodding, and congratulate others when they need congratulating, and basically just forming a bit of a circuit breaker between the official negotiators and the different countries involved in the talks.
Now, although the talks only started on Monday, there's been a couple of interesting things that have already come out of the talks. I believe the Environmental Protection Agency in the US has declared something.
Yeah, so in a really interesting move just before Copenhagen, the EPA in the United States has decided that carbon dioxide is harmful to humans, which, you know, might sound like an obvious point, but is a really big step for a government agency.
They're Brady in the US, aren't they?
I know, they've worked it out.
Yeah.
And this kind of allows them to make regulations on carbon dioxide emissions without new legislation from Congress. So it might be a way of getting around this impasse that they have in the United States, like we have in Australia, where they can't quite decide on the legislation to tackle climate change. So now it's possible that one of the big agencies can just step in and say, well, this is a big problem, so we're just going to regulate it.
That's great. And also there's some exciting things from France as well.
Yeah, look, France are actually doing a really impressive job. The target, it might not be massive, although it's 30%, so it's much bigger than Australia's, but it's how they're planning to cut emissions. They've said that they won't be buying any credits from developing countries, so they're not going to rely on other people to make the cuts and then, you know, buy the rights from those countries, usually developing countries that reduce the amount of land clearing and forestry. Instead, they're going to concentrate just domestically, so they're going to look at, you know, every area of their domestic economy and make little cuts right across the board, and do what they can at home before they go abroad, which is a really good step and something that we hope other countries follow.
From covering the press over the last few weeks, I must admit that Europe seems to be really forward-thinking when it comes to emissions reduction. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we've all at some point in our lives looked over at Europe, particularly those Scandinavians, and gone, oh, how, you know, they're always one step ahead. And that is kind of the case with emissions reductions as well. The EU is a bloc, has committed to reducing between 20 and 30% by 2020. It's looking increasingly like they'll go for that 30% target, which is really encouraging. And they're certainly pushing the rest of the developed countries, like Australia and the US, into taking some more serious actions.
What are some of the main things to look out for during the Copenhagen talks?
Well, I guess the three biggies are targets for developed countries, targets for developing countries, and money. So on targets for developed countries, we really need, as a group, all the rich countries to reduce their emissions, by between 25 and 40%. So we need, you know, a strong showing from the US. We need Australia to also get in there and move, you know, that 25% target they've talked about, make that real. Developing countries are on a slightly different track because, obviously, historically, they haven't had as much emissions in the past. What they're being asked to do is reduce the amount of emissions below what would be business as usual. So that might mean that they can still increase their emissions from 1990 levels, but at a much lower pace, so that eventually, you know, sort of in 2050, they can push those emissions right down and join the rest of the world. And the big one, which is so often the case in these things, is money. A lot of those developing countries are really going to need a lot of assistance, whether it's in buying clean technology or in some cases using it to build infrastructure that will protect them from climate change. It could be as simple as building a seawall, you know, for low-lying islands. They're going to need something to combat sea level rises. Or it might be, you know, moving whole, you know, villages and towns away from vulnerable areas. So targets for developing and money are the three biggies.
Jonathan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, guys. Good luck.
Thank you. That's Jonathan Larkin from the WWF telling us what to look out for and what's already been happening at the Copenhagen Talks. If you'd like to find out more about the WWF, please check out their website. It's wwf.org.au. Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And that was one of our podcasts, but I still like guys.
I still like girls.
Boys better though.
I don't know about that. Listen to another podcast and find out.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.